Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another Fireside Chat. This is your host, Lance White. I'm delighted to welcome back one of my favorite guests, Dr. John J. Harper. Dr. Harper is an international speaker on worldwide changes in climate, culture, and consciousness. His recent best-selling book called Transformers, Shamans of the 21st Century, is probably going to be the focus of our topic tonight, and he is a frequent guest on one of my favorite shows, Coast to Coast AM. He has intimate experience working for the Department of Defense in the past, not now, and other top secret facilities, and has an enthusiasm for life that is hard to keep up with. So let's welcome John back now. Hi, John. How are you?
Good evening, Lance. Great to be with you and your wonderful audience.
Oh, good, good. You know, the last time we spoke, the hour went by so fast that it seemed we barely got to skim the surface on a number of they were all my favorite topics. So I'm glad that we have a chance to pick up kind of where we left off and see what else is new in your world and so on and so forth.
Yeah, there just seems to not be enough time these days, doesn't it, no matter what the topic.
Really. In fact, speaking of time, I'm sure you've noticed that the atomic clock has moved up a couple of ticks. It's now 11:55. We're finally beginning to hear the words global warming as a real and legitimate issue, even though it would appear that the powers that be have actively been suppressing this data. What kind of news do you have on that front?
Well, you know, what we're seeing is a convergence of physics and metaphysics in a real way. In other words, we've got a lot of folks who intuitively have sensed for a long time that the climate was changing and going to change dramatically. And now every day nearly we have a scientific validation of that insight. And so we're basically seeing this slow but sure recognition by our political community that the time to act is gone, and now we need to prepare for the worst.
Right on. Yeah, you know, people aren't going to like to hear that, and, you know, there are a lot of people that are living in denial and basically just, you know, going on about their lives and trying to survive. So, you know, there's no blame there, but it's going to be a rude awakening, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and it's going to be a lethal awakening, if you pardon the pun. Because what is going to happen is we're converging cycles within cycles. In other words, we've got these huge cycles that we've talked about before on the precession of the equinoxes that are 26,000 years, give or take. And what we're seeing is that we're at a major shifting point of the entire planet. The electromagnetic fields are getting ready to shift again, realigning the whole planet with the sun and the core of the galaxy. And what this means in practical terms is we're seeing a huge shift of energy. And so we see the weather going completely wild.
Mm-hmm.
You know, within minutes to hours, we see ice and snow to ice and then back to warmth again in various regions of our own country, let alone Europe was just completely hammered by a hurricane force winds that hit Germany. The entire country of Germany, where I used to live in Nuremberg, down south, you would never, ever have heard of anything like this coming off the North Sea, for example, and hitting Hamburg and Bremerhaven and then working its way all the way down almost to Bavaria. So this is really, really serious stuff we're talking about.
You know, I've heard Art Bell and Whitley Strieber had written that book about global warming many years ago, which was turned into quite a popular movie. And in that movie, there was almost instantaneous freezing in New York. I can't remember the name of it, but
the movie was The Day After Tomorrow, and Art Bell and Whitley Strieber's book was called The Coming Global Superstorm.
Yes, in my book, too.
I talk about this at great length.
That actually has happened in the past. I mean, we've actually found, scientists have found, bodies that were literally frozen dead in their tracks with greenery around them one moment, and within minutes, they were literally freeze-frozen.
Let me share a real personal story. I have my youngest of three children, Jason, just finished his mathematics degree at Washington State University.
Oh, congratulations.
I'll tell him that. He'll be pleased to hear that because
he
is now decided to go on and finish a computer science credential. But, but the point of this story is that Jason, when he was 28 years old, he's nearly 30 now, so almost 2 years ago, he came to me one time when he was visiting me from the university, and he said, you know, Dad, I had this tremendously lucid dream that really scared me. I'd like to share it. And I was thinking that here's this very methodical, very quiet, shy son coming to the old man to talk to. I said, well, this is a revelation in itself for me. And so anyway, Jason was very serious. I remember this moment quite clearly. And he said, Dad, I had this dream. I was out here in Spokane, in our community, in our front yard, and I saw this storm off in the distance. It was a typical kind of a thunderstorm scenario, and with one exception, he said it was warm, but then the rain started falling, and I could see that it was getting thicker and thicker. It was sleet and then really ice pellets. And he said, suddenly, in a flash, I was frozen solid to the ground, and I knew I was buried alive in ice.
Wow.
Now, this was 18 to 24 months ago. It's in my book as a footnote because I thought it was so strange. I thought, well, at least document it in my book. You know?
Right.
But that really rattled me because, like, again, Jason's such a self-effacing kind of person, very quiet. And so anyway, now we see the country is encased in ice and regions, isn't it?
Yes, my goodness.
Oklahoma, Texas, on and on, you know.
You know, and like you said, I think we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg, pun intended.
Yeah, and we need to really watch our metaphors because we can see that the symbols that we use in our mind are really trying to teach us something, aren't they?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you talked a little bit about the gravity of the situation in the sense that there might be a pole shift. I know that that's kind of in the works now. I mean, the poles kind of magnetically drift all over the place for a while, and then all of a sudden, boom, they snap over to the opposite pole. How would that impact us?
Well, we need to realize that, you know, navigation systems with the animal community, for example, and migration patterns of birds, you know, they tune in dolphins, whales, et cetera. So, you know, we're seeing beach eating of whales and dolphins, aren't we?
Yes, and birds literally frying in the air. Of course, that could be electromagnetic pulse weaponry being tested. But you know,
the Earth is an electromagnetic weapon if she decides she wants to be. I mean, just think of the mass extinctions biologically. We're in about the fifth major mass extinction right now, and you were referring to these birds flying along and then dropping dead literally out of the air in Australia recently and other places, right? Austin, Texas.
Yes, yes.
Well, what's going on, in my opinion, is these electromagnetic fields are shifting so dramatically. They're impacting the biological, the biorhythms, if you will, of certain species. They don't, in other words, they don't have any kind of complex DNA sequencing that they can refer back to evolutionary-wise. And so their immune system suddenly turns off and they drop dead.
Wow. Well, we're not only skating on thin ice, we are really we're breaking new ground and we're in new territory that we personally, as a planet, have not been through yet. I mean, there may have been other epochs that have gone through these pole shifts and changes, but, you know, humanity as we know it, of course, humanity just started 2,000 years ago, right?
Right. Wrong.
So, I was thinking too that in the event of a pole shift, would none of the batteries would have to, they would be reversed, so they wouldn't work. Would electricity work? And
we still have, you know, the planet is electric, the universe is electric. So when we talk about pole shift, you're on the right idea there. Now, what would happen to motors that suddenly reverse their polarity and their rotation? Certain things would be just totally screwed up, wouldn't they? And the other thing would be that during that shift, you know, if it's not really sudden, if it happened, let's say, over days or weeks, you're going to find all those electronics are going to absolutely scramble themselves. They're going to try to flip polarity. And just like you would do, you know, for example, trying to turn your car engine over, and all of a sudden it's trying to grind the starter into dust.
Yeah.
Right? Well, we're going to grind this planet to a halt technologically if that doesn't happen just right. And I have this strong sense that that's where we're going, and it's not going to be pretty.
You know, I have to agree with you. I'm not one to be a harbinger of things that create fear because, you know, we know that the powers that be like to use that technique, but there are plenty of things to be concerned about and to raise our awareness about and our consciousness about, too.
Yes, I always say, you know, I use this motto, Lance, and I say, This is not a time for panic. This is a time for preparation.
Yes, yes, very good. Well, what would you recommend that we? How can we prepare for these changes, you know, that are upon us right now?
One of the greatest things that I'm doing within my own family is trying to get us sensitive to good nutrition, even more than ever before. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of supplements out there, and I don't like to recommend products, but think about things that boost the immune system. Crystallized vitamin C, for example, very powerful stimulant to the immune system.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Pauling was a big proponent of that.
Yeah. So Linus Pauling, of course, was kind of thought of as a charlatan and a pseudoscientist much of his career. And then all of a sudden, lo and behold, science goes forward one funeral at a time.
Yes, yes.
And so now we're looking at Dr. Linus Pauling as the genius that he is.
Yes.
And so along these lines, though, we need to start thinking about, you know, what does work for us. I mean, I drink a granulated, very potent green tea, for example. It's not a leaf. It's ground up, and it's about 10 times more potent than the normal green tea. And you can get on the Internet and surf and find these products, but everyone needs to find what works for them.
Uh-huh.
And so, again, those are just two quick ideas, but, you know, the sense that we need to completely detox our system more and more quickly and more often now would be a great thing to contemplate.
Mm.
Because, see, what's going on is, as we change electromagnetic fields around the cellular level, we're also putting strain on all the organs and tissues, right?
Yes.
So they're trying to detox naturally, but they're doing it more quickly, so we start getting fatigue. You know, we start getting these things like chronic fatigue syndrome.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And don't you feel that that the pharmaceutical industry is responsible, if not directly and indirectly, for creating a lot of the immune stress with drugs that we really don't need and that create a blanket between ourselves or our soul or our emotional body, and which is trying to speak to us, and the messages just aren't getting through the neurons?
Absolutely. And, you know, this began with that Wall Street slogan, better living through chemistry.
I remember that one.
And so you're right. Exactly what is going on is that as the air becomes more and more polluted and the water becomes more and more polluted and our food becomes more and more toxic from pesticides and herbicides, we are in a crisis like no other. It's damned if we do and double damned if we don't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the real issue then is to start looking out for yourself in terms of what you're putting into your system and realizing that this is a marvelous machine. Even we call it the soul machine. This is a marvelous energetic transformation device that we call our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And so even sickness can lead and does lead to abundant health if you can get through that crisis. But remember what the ancients said. They said, whatever doesn't kill me strengthens me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, pretty soon, you know, that only can go so far. And with pandemics looming on the horizon, we can see there's going to be a mass extinction. It's not going to take a lot now because we got so many people stressed naturally, you might say, just from the social, day-to-day routines we're in our high-tech, low-touch communities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, there are so many experiments that are being done to find out more about diseases that are killer diseases, and it seems like there's no end of toying with and playing with biology. And I just read that they came up with they went back and wanted to find out more about the plague, you know. So they've developed an even deadlier strain of it, and you know, there must be vast libraries of killer diseases that are just one wall away from humanity.
Exactly, and I think what's very frightening. You know, we heard this week that the Chinese have decided to show their prowess by exploding a satellite in low Earth orbit.
Yes.
And can you imagine if that was unleashed against any of the world's communications networks, and suddenly, speaking of these labs having all these viruses, for example, use that as a showcase of a disaster.
Yes.
What if you've lost telecommunications between facilities. Mm. You've lost your telephone, your internet, your email, your ATM card for banking. You lost your weather satellite reports for oncoming storms at a time in our history where they're going to increase exponentially.
Yes, yes.
Now, just think how isolated we would be, and you've got all these facilities with nuclear waste dumps that are monitored electronically via satellite.
Yes.
You've got labs that, again, like with the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta in our country, linked with other Centers for Disease Control worldwide.
Mm.
They lost communication. What if no one could give us a heads up about what's coming down?
Wow.
So you see, that's why I'm concerned. That's why I speak out and get us all to think about, you know, informing our legislators and our political leaders that, you know, there's a lot of things here that we can be doing with our funds other than what we're doing with them.
Oh, absolutely. So I take it that you you may not be a proponent of sending more troops to Iraq.
No. There's a need for containment, in my opinion. I'm an ex-military man, not only a civilian, but I'm an ex-active duty Army combat electronics officer in reserve, and then I served during the Vietnam era for 5 years, so I have a little bit of experience on what that means to be boots on the ground and with the weapon in your hand looking, you know, for the offending parties. We need containment because I think if we ran out of there now, all we would do is incite a civil war that would just never end until the last drop of blood was shed.
Yeah, yeah.
But in terms of sending more, why add more fuel to a fire that you can't put out?
Well, it almost would seem that there's an undercurrent here that we're really not, let's just put it on the table, that there are some armchair generals that are just dying to push the button on Iran. They can't wait to get in there and take over that country. Wouldn't you say that there's some kind of connection between the two, that there's that they're interrelated intimately?
Yeah, yeah. There's an ideology here, Lance, as you well know, that says, you know, preemptive strike is the way to ensure security for the United States of America. And, you know, this is an old
paradigm
trick that was tried, you know, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, but now we want the eye and the tooth before we even get to the person that has
really?
The eye and the tooth. Okay?
Really?
So, I mean, there's a different set of beliefs here that are clashing with this idea, well, let's wait until somebody, you know, hits before you counter-hit. And, but in fairness, you know, I don't have the burden of command or the burden of political leadership on my shoulders, and I have to sit here as an armchair former lieutenant. I didn't make it to general officer, knowing that I would be the one that would have to go into combat with a group of men or women now. I realize that, you know, it's a tough call because you've got some folks that are extremely unstable, to say the least, that have their fingers on their own nuclear buttons or even intercontinental ballistic missile buttons. And so, you know, you have to weigh this, and it really is a difficult decision to make whether to go act first preemptively or to wait until you suffer, you know, mass casualties. Then you have total, I would say, moral authority to go in and mop up the mess.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a call. It's tough, and I don't want to say that I'm leaning one way or the other. I just have always felt that you should have fought through this long before you ever put boots on the ground somewhere to impose your will on another nation. Knowing my personality and my belief system, you know, in body, mind, spirit, wellness, and all that, I would have done it a different way, of course.
Right, I would have to agree, and I think what you're saying too is related to an old paradigm bumping up against a new one, which has to do with those cycles that you were just talking about.
Exactly, and the old saying, you know, if you knew what I knew, you would have never done it that way, because specifically we're in solar cycle 24, which, you know, David Hathaway at Marshall Space Flight Center, Huntsville, Alabama, one of my own work areas where my wife worked for years, and I worked with the Ballistic Missile Defense Command. David Hathaway just said that he sees solar cycle 24 in around the year 2012 as being a catastrophic event, a series of solar flares that in and of themselves could knock out the International Space Station, could knock out satellites, could knock out all telecommunications in a given region. In other words, a total blackout, some parts of the planet that get hit directly with this cosmic radiation. Now, it's interesting, you know, we talked about Mayan calendars and 2012 and this type of thing.
Uh-huh.
But see, now they're correlated with science. And
yes.
To me, it's becoming very fascinating to watch this unfold.
Yes, yes it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's almost as if there's a merging of science and spirit.
Yeah, that's why I call this, my DVD is called The Science of Soul for that very reason.
So where, you know, where are we headed then in 2007? I've heard a lot of speculation about March being a busy month for some reason. I don't know what the astrological lineup is, but it's a lot of people are, you know, yakking about 2007 as being kind of we're in a 9 year for one thing, numerologically.
Yeah.
So this is a year of completions. Are you think we're going to see things heat up a bit more and some truth be told finally and some revelations, so to speak?
Well, I definitely have sensed, especially the last couple of weeks, that I needed to be more active in speaking out. So when I had this opportunity this afternoon presented to me for you, Lance, I was excited because I had just sat here the last couple of days in and out of my other routines and said, you know, this spring, summer, I think, is going to be catastrophic in terms of natural weather disasters, maybe volcanic eruptions,
mm-hmm.
Hurricanes, maybe not in the U.S., but in other parts of the world, typhoons, as they call them, cyclones.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be a ramping up now where somewhere around midsummer, everyone's going to look at each other and say, this is not the planet that we experienced as children.
Yeah, right, you know? Right. Well, it hasn't been that planet for quite a long time. You know, if my grandparents were around, they'd be rolling over in their grave if they knew what was going on.
Isn't that the truth? Anyone that was connected to the planet, to the Earth, to farming, agriculture, absolutely knows that things are in terrible shape.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's like everything is bursting at the seams in the wrong direction. It's like the it's like a baseball that's, you know, filled with pressure, and the seams are just literally unraveling. You know, at some point, it's going to just snap.
Well, what's going to happen, literally, is that the undersea volcanism is going to increase and literally boil the ocean in parts and actually accelerate global warming and actually lead to melting of the icebergs at a faster rate than they are even now, which will lead to a flooding of the coastlines worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to see migration inland to the upper mountain and inner mountain regions of different parts of the world where that will help. And then in other low-lying areas, that in India, for example, and all those areas that have suffered terrible floods, they're
mm-hmm.
just going to be inundated to the point they're going to lose mass amounts of their population very quickly.
So, you know, and not only must we prepare spiritually and physically of ourselves and become more fit while holding our jobs and surviving, but you know, there's a lot of other things that are on the horizon that are wild cards.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, yeah. So, what do you see? What disturbs you most about these times now? I mean, what's your sense of the mood of the nation and the globe? And you know, what message are you trying to get out now?
Well, I think basically we need to understand that the times they are changing, and they're changing rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't believe that, we really need to just stick our head out the window for a moment and really take a deep breath and look around and see and sense and feel what's going in the air. And it's the air of, you know, the blowing winds of change or almost hurricane force. And that means we need to come together more and more as a community, as people that care about one another. We really need to put the economic model to rest to a greater degree. I mean, he or she who dies with the most toys has lost long before they ever get to the grave.
Yes.
I mean, they've lost out on life, on relationships. We need to realize that all of this high-tech, low-touch technology can be taken away in about 90 minutes with the right strategic maneuver, say, by China, for example.
Yes. Yeah.
And so if that's the case, why do we have to wait until we plunge ourselves, you know, into the abyss and worry about things that we don't need to even worry about? For example, I mean, you know, it's nice to have all these things that we have, but we need to get back to basics as soon as we can. I mean, you know, I understand people have to live and have to go through their normal, you know, lifestyle routines to earn a little bit of money to put food on the table and pay the rent. But, you know, we don't have to keep going after the Joneses' vision of reality anymore, do we?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And besides which, I think you're aware of this, and our audience probably is fairly aware of it, that, you know, 10% of America's population holds 70% of the wealth anyway, and they're going after the rest of it. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know, really, what is wealth? You know,
it's an inner thing,
isn't it?
It's health.
Yeah, yes.
You know, and so the ancients, you know, for example, the Greek communities that based their communities around amphitheaters where they had social interaction and appreciated nature and the outdoor environment, you know, that's important. And, you know, any time you can get together and you maybe help somebody, that's important. Those types, the little things, I think, are more important now than ever before. It's
yes.
The old pioneer spirit that I'm talking about.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, I still get this gut feeling that people are pretty much stuck in a rut and that it's going to take some major shifts. I mean, some really demolishing and disturbing events, you know, like stock market crashes and things that are...
Right, devaluation of the dollar. Exactly.
Yes, you know, because it's not about the dollar anymore, you know, it's just not. We're so immersed in materialism that we just can't even catch a breath. You know, and you know, we go out in traffic and people are just darting all over the place like bees.
Well, here's my classic vision that I see from time to time on the boulevard that I live on. You know, it's bumper-to-bumper traffic, and the cell phone headset is on in one hand, and the Starbucks mega coffee mug is going in the other, and the mouth is, you know, I can see the movement. Their teeth are actually loosening because they're talking so fast, and then someone cuts them off, and all hell breaks loose, and,
yeah.
You know, have a nice day. I mean, you know, what do you say to this person, you know?
That's very funny. And you know, it's really sad. You know, we're just in some ways it's so sad it's funny.
Well, you know what we've done? This is why I interject humor from time to time. We have lost our sense of humor as a nation.
Oh yeah.
Now everything is litigation.
Oh yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
And so we've lost the power of the pun, and we've lost you know, the spirit of the poet, and we've lost the humor of the comic.
Yeah.
And so everything is becoming a crisis to us. I mean,
yeah.
Everything sets us off now, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and until we learn how to achieve some balance by going within, you know, and
that's
finding
it.
Our center, you know.
That's it. And we need to find our center, you know, more and more. You know, I always speak with passion and with this type of borderline manic delivery, but, you know, 11, 12 hours a day, I'm centered. I'm real quiet.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, in a self-reflective mode. I'm either writing or doing some reading or doing a little counseling with people. And then I'm very a different person. But, you know, to speak with conviction, I think, is important now. We need to really be passionate because this is our lives we're talking about. We're talking about life and death and rebirth matters.
Yes.
And for those, you know, who don't understand all the metaphysics or the physics, I mean, they're really in a quandary as to what in the world is going on with their world.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
People that have any insight need to step forward and share that. And I know this puzzle is, you know, the cosmic puzzle is coming together rapidly now, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes, my goodness. I mean, people, the connections that, you know, I'm making and people are making are just astonishing. And you know, we're beginning to hear about the divine matrix and the zero-point field, and, you know, people are making these connections that, you know, these are really exciting times. You know, not only are they disturbing, but they also hold the greatest opportunity to catapult us to the stars.
Well, you know, speaking of China, you know, the Chinese have a written caricature symbol, you know, that integrates crisis with opportunity, and
mm-hmm.
I just love that,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're faced with. We're in a time of rapid change, and we're also in a time of tremendous creativity potential.
Yes, yes, absolutely. You know, and you mentioned the Chinese. You know, I have a great deal of respect for the Chinese. They they've been doing the spiritual thing a lot longer than we have.
I do as well. I've studied many of their body, mind, spirit, systems, and absolutely, they're the ones that really understand energy, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know, and we have such a narrow-minded attitude here in America. I mean, we are open to a point, but you know, there's such a wealth of opportunity by embracing these other wonderful cultures that are all us.
Yeah.
You know, really, we're all one another, and we create one field, and we are one being. And I think when we begin to start to realize that what we do to another person, we're doing to ourselves, we're going to wake up and realize that we just can't solve problems the way we used to by destruction, that it just doesn't work anymore.
Isn't that the mirror that's being held up today? We're seeing that we are our brother's keeper.
Absolutely.
And we're seeing that for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I was just going through the internet and I found something on mirror neurons in the brain that actually literally mirror things back to us in the brain. So it's an actual physical phenomenon as well. And I think you mentioned it in your book.
Yes. And I try to integrate all the physics and metaphysics that we're just barely touching on here this evening. But, you know, the important point is that we get folks who can teach this at the very elementary level. I mean, in our school system, you know, I will rejoice when my grandkids are being taught about the body-mind-spirit connection. You know, if I see that, I'm going to light up, you know?
Absolutely.
Because that means that we have a generation of folks coming through the pipeline, so to speak, that are going to treat one another with respect because they know that what they do to the other is doing it to themselves, the
absolutely.
Old biblical truth, you know?
Absolutely, and that's when love has a chance, and when love blossoms and blooms,
everything's possible.
Exactly.
And, you know, the thing, we see this in the political community. I mean, that's a mirror holding up to us, no matter the political party, but when one attacks the other counterattacks, when one government attacks another government and counterattacks, we're seeing a mirror image at a grand scale of what is not working.
Yes.
But we keep doing it over and over again and expecting different results, and that's the definition of mental illness.
Insanity.
Exactly.
You know, your book is really jam-packed. You have done your homework. You have so much wonderful stuff in there. It's absolutely amazing. Did you have a favorite chapter that you were working on?
Well, you know, it took me 15 years to really pull that together. You know, it started real briefly for someone who's not heard us speak before about it.
Yeah.
You know, I lost a good friend, George Begay, who was a raging Cajun from Louisiana, back in 1987, November 87. He died suddenly, age 40, massive heart attack, in the rat race, senior engineer, brilliant physicist, on the way to work, and stopped by his doctor's office in Huntsville, Alabama to get some medicine. Had a massive heart attack, his heart exploded, and he died instantly. And from that incident, which rocked my scientific and belief systems and spiritual belief systems to the ground, because, you know, it threw me in a quandary, and I simply didn't understand why this young, vibrant man had to die. I went into kind of an existential crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved from Alabama back to the Seattle area and transferred with the Department of Defense. Well, you know, the story goes in my book in the opening preface that in June of 88, George suddenly appeared one morning about 4 a.m. to me, and he was in this energetic, vibrant, light body configuration. I didn't even know what that meant then. All I knew is I was seeing a full three-dimensional projection of my friend George. Now I would call it a hologram.
Mm.
So from that, though, Lance, that threw me into several years of research, trying to integrate religion and science, and what it amounted to was this book being pieced together from my scientific research and then reflecting on my life since childhood with my own metaphysical experiences, which I never understood, and I never talked with anybody about them.
Mm-hmm.
And so things started, you know, piecing themselves together rather organically, just naturally flowing. And I'd have synchronistic experiences with books and things like we all do now.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, you know, I started seeing that this was an outline for a book. And then I started drafting chapters, and things would start happening to me. People would come to me and share stories. Then I started talking to near-death experiencers,
mm-hmm.
and that's when it really exploded.
Mm.
So, you know, that's kind of the basic of the book, was integrating all these visions of the future with the physics that I understood by my training and my work experience, and then also the visions that I had since age 8.
Well, you know, you did work with near-death experiences for quite a long time. I mean, 18 years or so?
Yes, very much so. And, you know, I spoke with all the big names, you know, from Daniel Brinkley and Mellon Thomas Benedict and others are in my book. But, I started attending the Seattle chapter of the near-death experience, you know, the International Association of Near-Death Studies, IANS groups down in Seattle, late 80s, early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And met a lot of people, you know, that went out to write books then, Betty Eady and Kimberly Clark Sharp and so on and so forth. And then I started sponsoring people to come to speak at our Unity Church group or downtown Spokane Convention Center and the Body, Mind, Spirit, you know, that type of activity, and got to know them personal and spent many, many hours on the phone. Well, anyway, the long story short of this is that I started integrating all that knowledge that they had into my book and my own personal experience, and so that's how it evolved, and I just kept writing and rewriting. So what you have in my book is 15 years of research and interviews, but also about probably at least 15 major rewrites of that book. So I just got the cream of the crop of everything in the book.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's nothing left out of it, really. And, you know, what's really nice is that, you know, somebody who doesn't have a great deal of background in various subjects can pick it up and get it, you know. You've done the homework for them, and you present it in a way that's not only crystal clear, but it's very entertaining and it reads well.
Thank you.
And you have all your references and so on. So it's really a great book. I mean, I recommend it for everybody.
Thank you so much. By the way, it's doing extremely well. And it's also been translated into the Greek language.
Oh, good.
And a professor from Greece, who actually teaches at the University of Wisconsin, actually came to my publisher and said, I want to buy the rights. And so, again, that's going on. And then now we put this DVD together in London, England, on the science of soul and the solar chaos cycle in 2012. That's being produced in London, England. I think it's in the final stages. It's pre-orders are going on now for people that might want to come to the website and look at that and look at a preview of it.
Yeah. What is your website, by the way?
It's just johnjharper.com. So johnjayharper.com. And I wanted to just bring, you know, you mentioned earlier about your, and my respect too for Art Bell for kicking off this whole talk radio, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And his producer called me just about a minute after you called me this afternoon, so I'll be with the Art Bell Sunday night.
Say hello for me, will you?
I will do it.
I'm a big fan of his.
I will certainly do that.
I mean, my little show probably isn't even a bleep on the wire, but...
Every show's important when they've got smart folks like you on the other end of the microphone.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
Well, we patted each other on the back of the head. Now where do we go?
I don't know.
Well, I do.
All right. Well, you take the lead.
I just feel this evening is just there's a great spirit out here. I think that the openness is going to be here now to share more and more.
Yes.
I'm very optimistic that we're going to really come up with the grand vision of things, but are we going to be able to spare all the pain and suffering that we see? I don't know.
Yes.
It really depends on us in terms of can we, you know, really marshal the resources and really, you know, get the call to arms is not now weapons, it's a call to consciousness.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's time to, you know, time to pick up the consciousness. And, you know, people have been doing this for a long time, and it would appear that a lot of people have incarnated just for this period of time. Have you found that in your near-death experiences, that people have come here to be present during these particular shifting times?
Yes, I think that's absolutely going on at such a deep level. I mean, there's not a week that goes by now that I don't either have a conversation with or an email exchange with or in some way someone gets my attention and I there and theirs, and we open up to each other very quickly now. And I'm just amazed at... And I'm seeing what I think I'm seeing here, Lance, is old patterns, family patterns, reincarnational cycle patterns those who still have old business and need to clear the air, so to speak, are finding each other and working through things and then moving on more quickly, too.
Yes, yes, there's a lot of clearing going on.
Yeah, and more than that, there's also a regrouping of folks that really love each other at the deepest level.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're finding each other, not just in mates and close friends, but just, I mean, the person at the bank that you have to deal with, the person at the car wash, I mean, wherever you go, your dentist, I mean, things that, you know, you kind of just go through the motions most days, but I really sense when I'm with people, you know, this is an old soul. I've known this person before. And,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh, there's that lovely lady that I loved
yeah.
last time, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I'm finding that, too. And like you said, it's we're all family, but, I mean, some of us have been, you know, interconnected more intimately than others throughout the eons, and we're beginning to recognize each other.
Yes, and here's another insight that I have recently is that, you know, even at the leadership level, that more and more people that you would think that are just kind of at the grassroots basic level of our communities are getting opportunities like I am to speak, for example. And,
yeah.
You know, and I sense my connections back to Greece, and so it's not a coincidence that my book is being translated into Greek language, for example.
That's wonderful.
You know, and I started a nonprofit corporation to do this research in 94 called American Delphi Academy because of the Delphi, or Delphi, depending on your pronunciation,
okay.
That particular trance-like state that was used by the priestess and the shaman, if you will, and that's what kicked this thing off and how my book became titled Transformers, Shamans of the 21st Century,
uh-huh.
is because I realized that Greek model at Delphi was extremely important to our future, that as the DNA shifts, as the cycles of electromagnetic fields around the Earth shift, we're going to trigger a release of dimethyltryptamine, DMT,
oh.
and that's going to create a telepathic, visionary society.
Wow. Let's talk a little bit more about that, because that kind of falls in line with the 100th monkey effect, too, that I've heard about.
Yeah, yes, it does.
Excuse me.
Yes. You know, of course, you know, we have folks like Terence McKenna that made this very, these ideas, he brought them forward to the public many years ago.
Yes.
And, you know, I thought this was kind of interesting, but it sounded so flaky that I just really didn't investigate it, much to my, chagrin later, because
right.
I had to go back and really study all that, and the work of John Major Jenkins with Myocosmogenesis 2012, for example, and the Mayan Factor with Jose Arguelles, and
mm-hmm.
and Terence McKenna's work, and other new folks like Dr. Jeremy Narby, formerly at Stanford,
mm-hmm.
Anthropologist, you know, with his book called The Cosmic Serpent, DNA and the Origins of Knowledge. Well,
mm.
the quick of this is that it ties into a psychiatrist's work, Dr. Rick Strassman, at the University of New Mexico, who wrote
mm-hmm.
a book called DMT, the Spirit Molecule. And what he found from his laboratory experiments with DMT, which is federally funded, one of the first hallucinogenic drug studies done since probably the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And what Rick decided recently, and really kind of got my undivided attention, he was being interviewed and he shared his insight that he, as I did in my book, and I thought it was extremely speculative, but I was going to write it out the way I, you know, call it the way I saw it.
Uh-huh.
And Dr. Strassman also agrees now, I believe, that he said we're headed for some type of mass awakening on or about 2012, and he believes it will be triggered by a solar flare, if not a galactic alignment event.
Wow.
So
wow.
the DMT, this compound, now let's be clear about this to our audience, this is naturally made hallucinogenic chemical. It's made in the blood, in the lungs, and in the brain, specifically the pineal pituitary gland.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this is a classic third eye that no doubt Lance and others have talked many, many times about
mm-hmm.
on your show.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is important because we're seeing that we're in the worst of times and the best of times.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And so crisis and opportunity are knocking at the same door at the same time saying, let me in.
Yeah.
And we have to decide how we're going to respond to crisis
yeah.
and what we're going to do creatively
yeah.
with the opportunities given to us.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, and I think DMT is in quite a few plants as well, isn't it? Naturally occurring?
Yes, that's one of the more active psychoactive compounds. You know, in ayahuasca, the vine of the soul.
Oh, yes.
And the sacred mushroom and that type of thing.
Yes, I've been fascinated with ayahuasca. I unfortunately, my experimental days are over.
Or fortunately.
But, you know, we can still read about those who do have the desire and ability to journey there and find out, you know, what are they seeing? You know, keeping an open mind and saying, you know, well, what are these? Is this a reality that we're seeing? Is this parallel universe? You know, is this a reflection of us? Is it are these entities that are here to guide us? And so it opens up a lot of interesting questions and food for thought.
Well, it really does. It's food for the mind. And,
mm-hmm.
I think that we're getting to a place of maturity now where we can, you know, methodically and respectfully look at nature as our teacher and see that not only is DNA minded, but so is every molecule. And that means it has memory and it has some level of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can recapture this ancient vision that our Earth Mother, Gaia, is alive and is not well.
Yes.
And
yes.
She is telling us in one way or a thousand others that she's sick.
Yes.
She is about to give birth. She's extremely toxic, and she's kicking and screaming for us to stop the pollution. Stop the wars, pull our heads out of our past.
Yes.
So we can go forward or back to the future, as I say, to the Garden of Eden.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, being able to, really we have the luxury of being able to talk about this now in a relaxed conversation. But, you know, as you know, and I know, because we've seen the future in a sense, you know, we feel it coming, and I think everybody feels it coming. There may be a time when it will be more like panicking, and people will be coming from survival.
Well, you know, you brought that up, and that intro is just touching to me because I feel this so deeply and so strongly, and I don't want to oversell the point because, as you have prefaced our conversations in many different ways now, that we don't want to instill panic, but I really would love people to have more knowledge than they have.
Yes.
This is why I released my book when I did.
Yes.
And without sounding like P.T. Barnum Jr., you know,
yeah.
I really wish folks would, you know, they'll invest $25, give or take, in the most interesting ways. But when it comes to a book that could maybe actually save their physical lives here and
yes.
now,
yes.
they recoil from it.
I know. I don't... That part of it, part of me doesn't get that.
Yeah, I mean, we're probably both avid readers. I probably have invested a good portion of my earnings in books and other learning materials. And I do, I'm like you, Lance, I look around at the world and I wonder, we're in a mess, folks, and doesn't anybody want a clue as to how to get out of it?
Yeah.
You know, we're in a labyrinth, and there's folks out here that have maps to the tunnels. And don't you want to know?
I know. And, you know, unfortunately, we're becoming such a media-driven country. You know, like you said, that your comical description of people on the road stuck in traffic with a phone in the ear, you know, and it won't be long before they have implants so they don't have to hold the phone up, you know, and tire out the muscle.
Well, the moment I see that they start IV in Starbucks, that's the time I'm getting off the road.
Yeah, really. Oh, my God. I know. I laugh at people. It looks like they're just talking to themselves, and in a sense, they are.
And they are.
But, you know, reading is kind of an acquired taste, and it's something that, people in our age group, whatever that might be, either learned how to do it or we didn't, and it's gotten more difficult because everything is about media and entertainment, and if it doesn't just snap you up right now, you know, then we drop it and it's just not of interest. You know, it's like, you know, well, that doesn't pertain to me. Next.
Well, listen to this. This is a real real-time event in my family's life. My daughter Michelle, who's age 35, just called me about an hour and a half ago.
Uh-huh.
She says, Dad, I need to bring Joshua. I've got 8 grandchildren. Joshua is in a 12-year age group and really having trouble. He's an extremely bright, very creative kid, hates school, and is being totally disruptive to the point the teachers will not let him in the classroom again, I found out an hour and a half ago.
Really?
And so I told my daughter, I said, Shelly, bring Josh over, you know, this weekend, and let me spend some time with him just to get around him and sense what his mood is and what's going on, if at all possible. So the point is that we know that we've got kids out here with attention deficit disorder, with autism. Their parents and grandparents are faced with tremendous challenges that were not even thought of 50 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's important, too, to mention, because you brought it up, that a lot of these kids are special in other ways. The whole indigo crystal phenomenon.
That's where I was going with that, Lance, exactly. We need to realize, again, this crisis and opportunity, and the opportunity depends on creativity. How we solve problems.
Yes.
So we're asked to become, you know, problem solvers, not problem creators.
Yes.
And think of it at the national level. If we started thinking about solving other countries' problems in a way that didn't involve gun barrel diplomacy.
Yes, absolutely.
So what I'm saying here is it's the same with, in California, I saw this week there may be an action of an anti-spanking law. Have you heard about that?
No, I haven't.
Well, I haven't got into it yet, but the point is that we're starting to see that violence begets violence, and whether an adult can, properly discipline a child without putting their hands to the seat of the problem.
Right.
I don't know. I was treated very harshly as a child, so I have been very careful not to use physical punishment in my home.
Right.
A lot of people go the other way. They say, well, it was good enough for me, it was good enough for my child and stuff. I try to say, what works? You know,
The
objective of the discipline? Is it to make me feel better? Well, if it is, a lot of folks are going to be in trouble. I can do it. But I try to use, what was formerly called common sense, which now is so uncommon you cannot find it most days.
I'm telling you.
So when we think about our children and how to help them, we got to realize that, you know, what worked for us may not work at all anymore because of this indigo star child kind of phenomena where the DNA may be reconfiguring so quickly.
Yes.
And the child's in crisis and calling out for help, and all we want to do is punish them.
Yes, and the truth of the matter is that they know things that we don't know.
They certainly do.
They see things, they're intuiting things, they're psychic, they're in touch with realities that we are not in touch with. And as a result, they see through the sham and what's false, and that's why they're so upset. They're tearing down old paradigms that really should have been gone a long time ago.
That's correct, what's interesting is that I've been talking with some very, forward-leaning, cutting-edge kind of folks this week in some part of the country. Maybe at a later show I can share more.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's a community in the central part of the United States that is bringing together some very interesting folks, doctors, engineers, writers, artists, musicians, etc. Now, this has been tried before, but this community, the heart of the community is going to be a spa, a living health, wellness kind of 10-acre spa around several hundred acres that have never been touched since the days of the Indian, the Native American. And this individual that's a developer who I probably will be going down to assist in the development of this community soon, probably this spring.
Oh, wonderful.
And relocate my home from Spokane to there.
Wow.
Is going to be, I think, it sounds like the early stages of the design is going to be the cutting edge of community in the 21st century.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you've got to keep us posted on that one.
I will do it, and I really don't want to sound so mystical about this. It's just that I have not been given permission to share more than that. There's folks coming from all over the country. The individual that's in charge of it was formerly with the International Board of Directors on such things as Papa John's Pizza, 7-Eleven, Baskin-Robbins, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow.
And has decided to retire early and to kick off this community in style. There'll be a medical doctor from Atlanta coming in to manage the development of the spa complex.
Wow.
I understand, I just was talking with one of the folks on the board of directors here. Michelle just emailed me a little while ago and said, John, your new neighbor's an MD, and I'll tell you more later. So someone who had actually heard me speak, Lance, on a show, could have been your show, and then bought my book, thought so highly of it that they said, if it's good enough for John J. Harper, count me in. I want to buy next to him. I don't even know who this person is yet, Lance.
Oh, my goodness.
So isn't this amazing? I mean,
that
this is the kind of stuff you're talking about. This goes from indigo children to indigo adults, maybe, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
And so what's happening, though, is this need for community is resurfacing and the need to get back to basics with our families and that focus on health and not wealth.
Yes.
And get back to nature the best we can.
Absolutely, you know, absolutely. We can't say that enough.
We can't because, you know, I've written in my blog on my website today. I mean, have you ever tried growing food in asphalt?
No.
Talk about I haven't heard anyone bundle up organic asphalt yet
I
and
don't
sell
think
it to
so.
The garden shop.
I don't think so. You know, I have to mention something too that I became aware of not terribly long ago, and this is now a global phenomenon, and we don't really understand it, and it is the phenomenon of chemtrails overhead.
Yes.
And it's very disturbing to me because, you know, we're not getting any straight answers about what these chemtrails are, and there are plans that have been going on for 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And every day when I look up in the skies, there's a gray haze and there's a crisscross pattern, and there are chemicals being dumped all over the country, all over the globe. And, you know, it's getting harder and harder to get away from, you know, whatever it is, the chemicals that are being dumped in the air that we breathe.
Well, you know, I've certainly heard of this phenomenon, and I've listened to the conspiracy theorist and looked at that. I certainly know that the atmosphere is changing, and, you know, on my blog I've got this article that was released this week from an Air Force colonel, and I believe he was in Arkansas when he saw these lights that he simply cannot explain. Well, the point here is that, you know, my insight so far into this phenomenon says that the atmosphere is changing so dramatically that we need to think that we're inside a womb and that what we're seeing in the sky is a membrane and that technology itself is in some way playing an important role in this. I agree. There is certainly an element of this that is not desirable and is being misused and or abused for profit. But, you know, in terms of chemical trails, I've seen this in Spokane, and I've had many folks point this out. I have seen these trails. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I just wonder, is someone, let's say, in the government, are they trying to prevent a ice age? Because one of the things that in my book, you'll recall, Lance, was I'm very concerned that we'll get to a peak global warming phase and switch literally overnight to a global cooling.
Yes. It sounds like we might have a caller.
Great.
Is there a caller on? Well, we'll find out if they break in. You know, that was what I was mentioning earlier, that, you know, they... Well, that was a little blip in the road there. So we've got about a minute left, John. And, you know, this hour has flown by, and I've had a wonderful conversation with you, and I urge everybody to get your book. And would you please tell us again, you know, where we can find your website and how they can find your book and so on and so forth.
Well, the book is available at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, et cetera, maybe your local bookstore by now. But the best thing and the best cost is to go to johnjharper.com, JohnJayHarper.com, and look for the Reality Press order button on your right. You'll see Amazon and Barnes & Noble and then Reality Press. They do give a several dollar discount if you order direct from the publisher.
Well, this has been another wonderful conversation with you. You're a real pioneer and, you know, a guiding light on a planet that needs more people like you. So I thank you very much for being the guest tonight. And everybody, that was Dr. John J. Harper. Go out and get his book, and it's called Transformers, Shamans of the 21st Century. You will be delighted that you did. So thanks again, John, and will you come back again sometime and talk with us soon?
Anytime you wish, Lance. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you again. And congratulations on all the wonderful things with your family, too.
God bless.
All right. Good night, everybody.